from CanadianThinker.com. Our good pal Freddie P. joins us. Frederick, how are you today?
I'm great, MacArthur, and I hope the same is with you.
Well, thank you, yes. You know, in times of crisis, when the world just doesn't make sense, I, like many others, like to turn to Freddie P. just for some common sense and to figure stuff out. Fred, what is going on with these gas prices?
Well, what are we looking at? $105.71 the last time I looked this morning, and on the way up, another 1% or 1.5% increase today. And it's interesting, isn't it, Jeff, that any inkling of trouble in the world, and those gas prices just take off. It's interesting. But they don't recede as quickly.
No, they never do. You're right. When a Saudi prince catches a cold, all of a sudden gas prices go up 2 or 3 cents. But whenever the price of oil in the world goes down, it takes a while for that to be reflected in the price, Fred, because
no, exactly.
We bought gas in our reserves at a higher rate.
That's right. Isn't it funny, though? Again, any inkling of trouble, and it's immediate at the pumps. You know, if I'm in Peterborough, all of a sudden, immediately at the pumps.
Yeah.
As soon as there's some conflict somewhere.
Yeah, here's how I explain gas prices. We, the consumer, always get screwed. No matter which way, we're getting screwed.
And that's it. And I know there's trouble in Libya, and this is a significant oil, a strategic oil producer and part of the world and all that. I understand it, but I'm always a little skeptical when it comes to oil prices. Again, because obviously, it is what makes the world go round, and we're all slaves to it, aren't we?
Well, we are, but here's the part about Libya that bothers me, is that everybody's pointing the finger there, and that's why gas prices are going crazy. Libya is responsible for about 2% of the world's oil. In other words, it's pretty minuscule.
Yes, but at the same time, they point to conflict, and if that 2% was cut off, or if there's military action by an outside, a third party, whether it be British, U.S., or United Nations intervention, whatever, that could cause strife in that area and maybe affect the flow in other areas is what's driving the price up. Because, you know, it's speculative, right? Oil. So they just sit there and what if? And I guess there's a lot of people covering their ass right now with the price of oil, just in case it escalates and that 2% turns into 5%, turns into 10%.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's speculate a little ourselves here, and what should be done with Libya, as Gaddafi is still in power as we speak here this morning, and obviously a lot of the world's powers are busy on their hotlines, their red phones, trying to figure out what to do next.
Have you ever been in this situation? I have. You see a guy hitting his wife, you intervene, and then the wife gets mad at you.
It's funny you say that. I had my dad tell me that a long time ago. He says, whatever you do, if you're at a bar and a boyfriend, girlfriend are fighting, don't get in the middle of it because she'll turn on you in a heartbeat.
Well, yeah. this is what's going on over there. The United States could go in there tomorrow and pinpoint Gaddafi and kill him, but then what does it turn into? They are accused of, going where they don't belong or sticking their nose in the affairs of another country or being anti-Arab or whatever. That's exactly what's going to happen. Even if it's the most just and practical thing to do, once they do it, what is the ripple effect going to be? And I'm sure that's a consideration right now because, hey, Gaddafi's vulnerable right now. I mean, half the country or more than half the country is turning on him. So that might make the job of the Americans or some coalition to go in there and get them very easy. It's just, what does that turn into?
Do you think that that's the big hang-up? Because I think it was when we talk about Egypt or Cairo, Fred, and the leader there was obviously very American-friendly and helped him get a lot of things done. Gaddafi has been an enemy of the States and the most of the world for quite a while. As you mentioned, he's seen as a madman. He's seen as a bad guy. So I think the public will would be there. I think Obama is just afraid that he could have another Afghanistan on his hands, much like his predecessor, George W. Bush. If I go in there and I obliterate him, get rid of Gaddafi, then what do I do next?
That's right. And how much mopping up time is there, and what's that going to cost, and how many troops do I have to put in there? Yeah, it's all part and parcel of it. And again, what is the reaction of Al-Qaeda? What's the reaction of Iran, Iraq, their reaction to the Americans doing that, as far as terrorist attack go in other areas. So it's a very, it's always, when it comes to the Middle East, very, very complex. And I can see a measured reaction right now. I guess they're sitting there in Washington and in London just hoping that the citizens get this done. But it really seems to be a seesaw battle at this point. And you just wonder, I mean, really, it's genocide, too, against his own people. At what point do they say enough is enough and we have to go in and protect this these citizens from their own leader?
Well, you know, economic sanctions have already been imposed, including here in Canada, which is step one. But I think you're right. This is escalating to the point where something's going to have to be done and done soon. Here with Freddie P. from CanadianThinker.com. Freddie also got an interesting blog entry on the website this week regarding the Harper government.
Yes, you know, those who lean to the left all up in arms because the Prime Minister and a lot of internal documentation and has switched the words Government of Canada to Harper government. And this bothers a lot of people. It doesn't bother me, Jeff, because I like the idea that this man is actually putting his name to his actions. Don't you find that somewhat refreshing?
Yeah, exactly. He's not hiding behind anything here. He's being up front. And, I mean, Stephen Harper's always put himself front and center, right? So he's always been willing to take the heat as well as the glory, I guess.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, he's a pretty good leader from that respect. And, you know, when there's a sitting government, what do we call the government right now? We always say the Harper government, right? That's how it's referred to. That's how you distinguish between different governments. Mm-hmm. The Harper government did this, so he's putting it on the documentation, good or bad. His name is there, so we don't forget who's responsible. Do you think Dalton McGuinty would put his name on anything right now?
Yeah, the only thing he wants to put his name on is the McGuinty bucks, right? Those checks as he tries to buy votes.
Yeah, really, it's not that big a deal, but some choose, you know, the anti-Harper forces want to make, you know, it's that control thing. And I heard him compared to Gaddafi last week.
What?
Oh, yeah. You know, not super direct. It's just, oh, he's in such control. He's, you know, he's Gaddafi-like.
Yeah, that's right.
He still wants to be in control of things.
Yeah, he's going to take the Canadian military and turn it against us.
No, I know, but it just shows you. You know, that's what you got to love about this country. We get hysterical over the tiniest things. It just shows what great shape we're in.
Well, you know what this controversy, this supposed controversy, somewhat reminds me of is the scandal, if you want to call it that, with the stimulus checks. Remember they come out and they had the conservative logo on them?
Yes.
It's probably those same people that were pissed off about that are causing an uproar now.
Yeah, and you know what? A check from the government of Canada, I mean, there's a bit of an argument there. But as far as internal documentation or policy when it's released, if it has Harper government, hey, it's the Harper government that decided, so there it is, Harper government.
Yeah, just looking for something. I'm with you, and they're stretching way too hard here, I think. I do love Harper's commercial, by the way, since we're just talking about the Prime Minister for a second here, that commercial that's running on TSN of all places, and that he's up late at night just worrying about the country, and he's got his Beatles mug because he's one of us, and the fire's burning there, and I just love the imagery right at the end when they have the flame out front of the Parliament buildings just to, you know, prove to us that he's burning the midnight oil.
Yeah, I know. Do you think we're getting ready for an election or what?
Yeah.
I know.
Well, what do you think? Because we got the budget coming up here in a couple of weeks here. Layton seems to be the guy that's, once again, you know, can pull the trigger or not on an election. Do you think it's going to happen?
Well, I definitely think we've got an election coming. When you look at those numbers, and they're what, the approval rating was 43%. That's right in majority territory. I mean, he's got to jump on it sooner or later. When you get up around 43%, 44%, you got to do something because, you know, it takes one little thing for it to plummet again or one little issue. So, the time is ripe. It's never going to be better than it is now, and it's got to happen sooner than later. So I still expect by June we're going to the polls. That would be my prediction.
Let me ask you this, Freddie. If Harper does not deliver that majority this time out, do you think he's done?
You know what? If the country decides they don't want a conservative majority, he doesn't get it, yeah, I think he should resign.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can go off and make way more money doing other stuff. I mean, seriously, that would be what, three minority governments? And he gave it a good shot. My estimation, he did a pretty good job leading the country. Well, if that's not good enough, people, see you later. Let somebody else do it. That would be my strategy if I was him.
Yeah, fair enough. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting election if it does happen, because there is a lot on the line. Because I think you're right. If Harper wins but doesn't win the majority, it's still kind of a defeat. Sure. If Ignatieff doesn't get the Liberals back into power, well, he's done. He's cooked. Well, he's got to go.
That's the one hook for the Conservatives on getting a majority is Ignatieff. As long as he's here, they have a real good shot at a majority government. But, did you know, Stephen Harper, do you know how many boards he could sit on and make millions every year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just could.
Yeah.
And, you know, often you got to hand it to politicians. You know, they make a lot less money than they deserve. They really do, especially someone like a prime minister.
Yeah, that's what I don't get when I hear this. We hear this from callers from time to time on this show that, they're just in it for themselves and the gold-plated pensions and all that. You know, I've sat down, interviewed a lot of these people, these leaders, and they're people that truly care about this country. And to your point, Fred, you're absolutely right. They could be making a ton more dough out in the private sector.
No, believe me. I mean, the prime minister doesn't make nearly as much money as most guys who run huge corporations. I mean, a fraction, probably. So, yeah. And, you know, it's probably the most important corporation or the most important business in the country is running the country, and the man in charge is vastly, grossly underpaid. So, again, if he doesn't get his majority, go off and make the money that he's capable of.
Yeah, it's just dolts like you and I that could do better in the public sector. And trust me, nobody wants you or I running that corporation. Freddie, you have a great week, sir.
Hey, MacArthur, loving you.